from Chicago. And available on demand at SoundCloud.com. It's not about right and left. It's about right and wrong. This is The Hard Question.
The Hard Question.
And here's your host, Blanquita Cullum.
Oh, we have, I always say this, but today I extra mean it because we have such a unique and fun show, great show, with guests that, well, one we're going to give to you is kind of an Easter present, right, Mike? I think
Passover.
Or Passover, because it's the same time frame this year.
That's right.
And we're talking about, we have a guy coming on the show that has a brand new series on a network called Vid Angel, and the program is about the life of Christ, and our guest is going to be Dallas Jenkins. It's called The Chosen. Oh man, I'm already a junkie. I've already binged watched four of them, Miguel.
Oh yeah, bragging about your screeners that you get, huh?
Oh well, you know how I am.
Yeah,
but this,
yeah.
It is so great because you and I were talking about the fact that in many cases, for a long time, old movies wouldn't show you the face of Christ. They just wouldn't do it.
Right.
And then around, I want to say, in the 50s, you had some movies would show, like Jeffrey Hunter showed the face of Christ. Then, of course, we had The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's incredible movie. But this, I think people are going to love. Yeah. Also coming up, we're going to be talking with a very good friend of the show, a man who's really getting more and more presence on our program, and that's David Morey. He is a political analyst and strategist who's written so many books, The Underdog Advantage, The Leadership Campaign. He's a magician. He's a very smart guy, and I'm going to put a challenge to him today, Miguel.
You always do. You always like to keep him on his toes.
Well, because right now, when you have the Democrats basically balking at the Mueller report, and yeah, they're still trying to challenge the president, a lot of those people are kind of jockeying to run for president.
Right.
And I'm wondering if they're not putting the American people through more grief just because they want to look like they're leaders or get more time on television or get more money to run their campaigns.
They certainly are holding their breath because they know if they go full force with the accusations they want to make, it's not going to look good for them, like even in a month from now, let alone when the election rolls around.
Well, look at this Mayor Pete. I mean, what was it like? Not even 10 days ago when Beto was like the front runner.
Yeah.
Everyone loved Beto. Beto was the golden boy. And now he's like, Beto who?
Yeah.
You know, it's like lose your breath, lose your turn.
He had the chance to be the next Obama, but he didn't strike when the iron was hot. He, you know, launched his website with nothing more than an online store. No policies listed on there. Yeah, he totally messed up.
I would agree with you in most of that, except for one thing.
What's
that? He came out too early. You see, when you come out that early, when you announce that early, it's like, you know, there's no surprises, yeah, no glitz, no glamour, no looking like the young, you know, Kennedy wearing the white shirt, roll-up sleeves, getting out there and flailing. No. It's like, ho-hum, we've already seen this guy before.
Yeah, because I mean, back when Trump first announced his candidacy, I thought that was kind of early on. But, you know, he was able to maintain his presence even without that much effort. And Beto, yeah, he just doesn't have the same charisma, doesn't have the same personality. And it's kind of cringy seeing him stand up on those tables and, you know, shake his fist
when
he says stuff. It's, oh, man.
I know.
I feel like the guy.
Yeah, I don't feel for the guy. I just wouldn't want to eat on the table afterwards.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, it's kind of like a lot of people said about George W. Bush. Like, maybe not the greatest president, but he seems like an okay guy, like a nice enough dude.
Yeah, but he was a pretty tough strategist for his father's political campaign. People didn't realize how smart he really was. He was savvy in that stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas Beto didn't have the chops when he was running for the Senate. And that was Ted Cruz's Senate race to lose, and he almost lost it because people thought he'd gotten to be too important for himself. You know,
That's true.
Believed his own press releases.
Ignoring his state for the higher office, but, you know,
came
out on top.
People thought, what was that about? So, I don't know. It's going to be fun to talk to him about that. And I think you're going to enjoy the challenge. Now, the other thing is, when we get our guest on, Dallas Jenkins, I think he's going to give everyone a little bit of a gift, because I believe he'll give you the website so that you can see the first episode of The Chosen. And boy, once you get hooked, you get hooked. It's a great series.
I'm excited to
see it. I know. I can't wait for you to see it and let me know. This is The Hard Question, Mike Michalski on Good Friday. And thank you for joining us. Stay tuned with us. And don't forget, Sean Lester puts us on SoundCloud, LesterAndSure1.com.
This is The Hard Question on WCGO. Here's BQ.
Well, normally I will start off with a guest like my next guest, who's a brilliant political strategist, analyst, problem solver, magician. Oh, yes, he's a magician too, our good friend David Morey. And normally I just go on and on about the books. First of all, I've got to say, congratulations on the birth of your brand new, your first baby, Elizabeth Sarah. You and your beautiful wife, Shia Young, who have just had this baby. I mean, what, like not even a week ago?
Yeah. Actually, 12 days. So we're getting to the anniversary. Thank you, BQ. You know, these children are the magic of life, aren't they?
Oh, and you look at, you know, this is the thing that people that don't have kids sometimes don't understand. When you look at your brand new babies and you sit there and you just kind of get enraptured with the magic of that life, and that it's part of you and all the generations that went on before, and you have such an interesting heritage on both sides.
Yeah, can you imagine? This is an East-West baby. And think of a baby today. That baby, the science says, will grow to way over 100, way into the century 2100, hopefully. And can you imagine what they'll see? The changes in space travel and time and health, and oh my gosh, it you know, we get all worried about the Mueller report this week, but you know, on the bigger scale, you know, mankind has its trajectory, doesn't it?
It does. And of course, the other mankind that has a different kind of trajectory, it's almost kind of a tragic actory in a way, because the Mueller report did come out. And the Attorney General, Bill Barr, no-nonsense kind of guy. I remember him from when I worked in the first Bush administration. And people, you know, look at him as like this no-nonsense kind of guy. But, I mean, is anybody surprised that no matter, even if he had the papal imprimatur and he had Mueller there himself, is throwing him kisses, that the Democrats were not going to be pleased with this report?
Yeah, you know, I think in a weird way they are probably pleased with it, you know, because unlike Attorney General Barr and his summary of this stuff, I don't know what happened to him. I knew him. I worked with him at Verizon. He was sort of a really good kind of lobbyist type lawyer. I think he's taken lobbyism very seriously with his current boss, President Trump. Look, the report, I don't know if you've read it. I'm still going through it. I was too mad.
I'm just going through it.
Yesterday.
It's a miracle you can go through anything with
we're
a brand new baby. Well, yeah, we're taking our time.
We're taking our time. It's a gripping narrative. Now, what do the Democrats do? Hopefully, they don't screw this up. They've got to do two things. They've got to, I mean, who's against transparency, accountability, oversight? If you're in the 35% Kool-Aid drinking Trump supporters, you probably are, but you shouldn't be, because, you know, the next time it may be a Democrat that you're going to have those tools, congressional tools. So Congress has got to do its job. I think impeachment is essentially off the table, unless some new big revolution happens. On the other hand, they'll lose an election if they fight it on that issue. It's got to be
the issue
your listeners are focused on. Yeah.
Because there you go. Because this is where you and I come together in the center. You know, there's a 35% that are Kool-Aid drinkers from both sides of the aisle. Some people want revenge. They can't stand him. They don't like him. They don't like his hair. They don't like his tan. They don't like the way he talks. They don't like anything about him. The other side doesn't like what the Democrats are doing. And they look at Smallwell and they look at all these other guys and they, you know, Schumer and Pelosi, and they go, no, no. and they get really angry. But then there are those of us in the center that remember how it all works, and we're coming up against a really hard, you know, time here where 2020 is like almost here. And who, you know, you're the genius when it comes to political strategy. Who emerges out of the 18 plus candidates with a real way to reach people that isn't so far to the left, isn't so far to the right, that comes right down in the center, that can speak to the masses that are looking for a leader?
Well, I think we should make one point, and then I'll give you my horse race analysis for the day. You know, they're running against Donald Trump. Remember, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump had the largest negatives of any two nominees ever. 58% of the American people before the Mueller report thought Trump was guilty. So he's got this really high hurdle, although I still think he's favored to win the election, if you ask me.
I agree with you.
Because the Democrats are, the Democrats are completely capable of messing this up. They have such a complicated House. You got AOC in one room, you got Amar in another, you got Pelosi ruling the House, but it's a complicated.
And then you've got Bernie. You've got Bernie, who, you know, and the old cartoon. You'll laugh at this, even if a lot of people really love Bernie. But there's a picture out there with Che Guevara wearing a Bernie Sanders shirt.
Well, no one thought Trump would win either, or Obama. So I guess it's hard for you and I to imagine Bernie winning. But I would say Biden and Bernie are the front runners. I think Biden is really the front runner, and I think Biden can beat Trump. And I think the Trump people believe that. Depending on how well he, you know, can he get the nomination? Can he get through the primary system without a gaffe? I think toe-to-toe he would beat Trump in a debate. And, you know, he's got great political instincts. I knew Biden for 30, 35 years. People forget. I once heard a story about him pulling the flag down at a VFW. He'd been attacked by one of the members and wrapping it around himself. Sounds like something Trump would do.
Yeah.
I'd say, this is
it
how
does,
I feel about
actually.
My country. He's,
but
he's got some
ask-
showmanship in him. But
he does. Well,
then
let me
there's
ask
another
you.
Category.
Well, hold on, hold on. Because the other thing is this, Dave, and we're talking with the great David Morey, and he has got so many wonderful books. The one I've been looking at today is Leadership Tools to Make Revolutionary Change Happen for You and Your Business. I mean, some of the books that you've had out, you know, I still love The Underdog Strategy. I mean, honestly. Anyway,
yes.
The question here is, in a horse race, with this many people from your own side who are pretty, they're kind of careless. They're going to go after him. And some people say that the attack on Biden, even with the issue of the quote unquote Me Too aspect of it, was not brought on by the loyal opposition. It was brought on by the people that didn't want him to be a strength and emerge as a leader on his own side. How do you beat that one?
Yeah. Well, you can't. I mean, Obama's right. You're going to lose if you have a circular firing squad. So they're going to have to rise above that. But I suspect Biden can do that. It's harder for me to imagine Bernie. I can imagine him winning the primaries. It's hard for me to imagine him beating Trump. But when you really put Bernie against Trump, I think you would have beat him last time. And, you know, anything can happen, you know, in this Trump era, you know, with this kind of change and craziness and chaos.
I can't wait to see Bernie in a debate with Beto. I mean,
he's going to
look like the adult, and Beto is going to look like the flailing kid. I mean, that is going to be, and what about Mayor Pete?
Well, I was going to say there's this other group that are political athletes that have communications ability that you can't rule out. Kamala Harris, I think, has that athletic ability. I think Beto to a lesser extent, but he has some of that. He still seems very young. Mayor Pete, I practiced his last name, Buttigieg. I don't see him winning the nomination. He could be a vice presidential. I mean, he seems young even for that, but who knows? He could surprise everyone. He has a sort of rationale that reminds me of Obama. When I started working with Obama in 2007, he rises above the moment. You know, Maury's rules, as you always call
them. Yes, I love
Maury's
rules.
You've got to find the center and rise up. And he does that. He's up high there. I mean, can you? He just rises above. I mean, I think he's killing Pence in this tete-a-tete he's got going with him. And you know, if in marketing, we always say it's about differentiation. How are you different? Well, there's no one more different than Donald Trump than Mayor Pete, right? He's gay. He's 37.
Yeah.
He's a Rhodes Scholar, Harvard, Afghanistan veteran. I mean, he's quoting scriptures. You know, I mean, they asked Trump what his favorite scripture was, and he said the New Testament. You know, I mean, you know,
well, he
doesn't
reads, reads. He reads fast. He covers a lot of ground.
He's a speed reader. That's fair. Yeah, that's very
fair. We have such a great guest on. One of my favorite, brand new daddy too. We just love David Morey and his beautiful wife and baby Elizabeth Sarah. And we want you to check out his website. We're going to come back with more of him. But if you're looking about trying to get some of his great books, go to www.shop.playoffense.com. We have more of David Morey and his insight in the upcoming election and the Mueller report. Stay with us here on 1590 WCGO. And don't forget, we're on SoundCloud. Thank you, John Lester, LesterInsure1.com.
This is The Hard Question on WCGO. Here's BQ.
David Morey is joining us. He is the CEO of DMG Global, the vice chairman of Core Strategy Group. He's a brilliant strategic consultant on politics, and he's advised five Nobel Prize winners. But man, is he a great magician. I loved seeing you do your magic while I was in D.C., and I want to tell everybody they need to get your book on business and magic. Give them the title. It is so wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you, BQ. It was great having you in the audience. Creating Business Magic, and the new book is Innovating Innovation, all at playoffense.com.
I got to tell you, though, honestly, you know, I'm one that always kind of feels like I know a little bit about magic. Yes, I've been sawed in half, and I have let David read my mind. But it was top of the line great. It was such a thrill to see you in your element. And, man, people loved you. They just loved you. When are you coming back to Chicago?
Oh, I hope to come back soon. I love Chicago. You can't keep me away from your restaurants. I mean, you guys have the most amazing restaurants in the world. I'm sure we'll, you know, we have this Washington Magic show monthly in D.C., but we'll take it on the road. It'll become Chicago Magic and New York Magic. We'll let your listeners know. We want to come to Chicago for sure.
That's awesome. Okay, so let us get back to this crazy, you know, I don't know, what is it, 20 people now? 20 people have said they're running for president. And you talked about Mayor Pete Buttigieg, you did a real research on how to pronounce the last name, which I think it's just judge
at the end. You got to stick judge. Okay. The Buttigieg. I think that's right.
All right. There you go. Good on you. All right. So he's articulate. He's gay. He's a mayor. He fits all these little, but he does have one thing going against him. He's white. So now you have to bring in the other candidates who are female, maybe gay, maybe straight, of color, maybe an Indian, not an Indian, you know, people who tried it before to get some name ID. And, you know, Elizabeth Warren, she's doing her best. She's doing a Hillary, trying to go again. And honestly, I don't think it's going to go anywhere for Elizabeth Warren. But if we're making do we put Bernie on the top? He's two white men. Do we put Kamala Harris? Does she have enough name ID? Who's got the magic in your book?
Well, I think Biden's a strong favorite to win the nomination, but he may not. And Trump's, I think if you look at the betting now, Trump had a 40% probability of winning the re-election, and Biden's at 8 to 10%. That may be about right. I mean, you know, the odds are, it's hard to beat an incumbent unless they think that way, you know, and then you become an insurgent, in my world, the underdog against them. I think Bernie Sanders still could win the nomination, and I have a hard time imagining him winning the general election, but you have to think that he's running against Donald Trump, and all bets are off. I mean, you know, Trump has got, here's what people forget. Gallup poll, let's assume, you know, everyone argues about the polls. Gallup is a pretty good standard, but Donald Trump's the first president over 2.5 years to never go above 50%. He's never gone above 45% in any single Gallup poll in terms of approval. That means he's got to find 5% somewhere that he's never found before. You know, it could be less electorally, as he did. But remember, he threaded that needle, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Can he do that again? Right now, he's underwater in all those states except Ohio.
But let me throw this out at you. right now, people, they're not talking about whether they're a big MAGA supporter or not, okay? Because they can get beaten up. They get hurt if they say they support Trump. And so people are, even if they're talking to some person that's calling them, quote unquote, anonymously on a phone call, trying to get an idea of who they're going to vote for, they're shutting up. But honestly, and I'm going to say that I believe when you've got like Yuma, Arizona with a crisis on the border, you've got, you know, feces on the street in San Francisco, you've got AOC trying to do the Green Deal. It's going to cost everybody so much money they won't be able to afford to take an airplane trip. Unless they pull it together and stop shooting at their own like they are, even with guys like Joe Biden, I don't see them, even if he doesn't hit the 50% mark, I say he takes a clean sweep on it.
Look, you may be right, because he, in a paradoxical way, he has spoken to the forgotten man and woman that Roosevelt called them, the forgotten man. Now it's the forgotten man and woman and, you know, LGBT person, right?
Right.
But you've got to speak to that. You got to speak to that person who, you know, these are the people, 40% of Americans don't have $400 in their savings account for an emergency. So I would say this of AOC. I think she's a pace car, not a party leader. And remember, she won a left-leaning district with 16,000 votes in the primary, 110 in the general. And think of this. In 2018, when the Democrats won the biggest victory since Watergate, they flipped 43 seats from Republican to Democrat. 40 of them, they went right down Maury's missing middle, right down the center.
Yeah,
so,
I agree with you.
You know, AOC's got all the rhetoric, and Nancy Pelosi, I don't know, I think she's doing great. Don't you, BQ? I mean, women can be great.
Well,
I think she's showing Trump how to do it in a way.
Let me tell you what I really think, okay, because I'm not ashamed to tell you what I really think. I think that she and Schumer and all those people, they have Roger Rabbit syndrome. And Roger Rabbit syndrome is when, you know, would see the movie, you know, Roger Rabbit, and they do the shave and a haircut two bits. He couldn't, and they go bomb, 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 and Roger Rabbit couldn't control himself. He'd have to scream two bits and reveal himself. Well, what they've done with the Mueller report and how much they hate the president, no matter, even if they should be doing a brilliant strategy to try to pull the center together, they can't help themselves. They got two-bit syndrome. They're going out there and they're screaming, Mueller report, we hate Trump, this and that. And so what happens is the average person is going, give me a friggin' break. Do they not care about my taxes, my border, my national security? Who are these people?
Well, I think Pelosi's been better than that. She said, you know, she's essentially taken impeachment off the table for now. She's talking about health care. She's keeping the unruly party members in line. The Democrats have a bigger house than the Republicans. And I think, you know, I think on the issues, look, you mentioned immigration. I think the Democrats have a very good argument on immigration.
Here's my challenge to you.
Politics more than policy.
Here's my challenge to you, because you know how much I love and respect you. And I wouldn't do this for just almost anybody, but because I know Pelosi won't take the request from me, but I want you to do at least a 5 to 10 minute interview with Nancy Pelosi and be fearless in asking the hard question. And we will put it on this show and air it.
Great.
Okay.
That'd be great. I'd love to do it. Yeah.
Because as you know, you're an integral part of this team, and it would be critical for what we're trying to do on this program, and that is to be able to lay it out there, because we have a lot of respect for people. We don't think they're stupid, and we think that they can make a decision if we present the facts.
You are asking the hard question, and people got to come up with the right answers. It's a great, you know, you guys are in that missing middle of sensibility, which is going to get America out of this current, you know, stage of craziness. So I'd be happy to do it. I'll go stalk her and see if I can pull it off.
Yeah, do that. And, you know, I hold the baby with you so she won't really think that you're a real stalker. We don't need a Me Too stalker. But I'm telling you.
I'm already using it. The baby is an unfair advantage in any debate right now.
Wow, of course.
She's so cute.
She's gorgeous. And we'll just make sure that we get that hard question out with that interview with you and Pelosi out. Because, honestly, that's the only way that American people are going to be able to get when they're not on their guard. And when you, like, because I know you have a lot of integrity and people respect you, you will be fearless in asking the hard question. And we need to know, you know, a lot of people are talking about whether or not Pelosi can keep AOC in the tent, because AOC doesn't even understand that there is a tent.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, she, you know, she's, there's a difference between Twitter followers and a national electorate and floor votes. And Pelosi understands the difference between those three audiences. And AOC has mastered the first audience, not necessarily the second or third right now.
And also, you've got a situation in this election across the board, whether it's right or left. We're looking at, you know, the joke is all those people that used to say don't trust anyone over 30 are now belonging to a group that says don't trust anybody that's over 90, because we've got lot of old candidates in there. And how are they going to resonate to young people who are looking at them as, wait a minute, I want my grandfather running for president?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we got some big problems on our hands. As I like to say, we can't even get stupid stuff done today. We are better than this as a country. We got to become that again.
Yes, we can. Go to David Morey's great site. That's Shop Play Offense, shop.playoffense.com for all his great books. Every single one is a bestseller and a winner for you. This is The Hard Question. I'm Blanquita Cullum on WCGO and, of course, SoundCloud. Thank you, John Lester, lesterinsurer1.com.
This is The Hard Question on WCGO.
I know a lot of you are gearing up for this holiday weekend. Many of us go back and look at old movies like Ben-Hur, The Robe, The Passion of the Christ. And like we've been talking about this week, you know, Hollywood has been bummed out because they've had the lowest box office returns, and they try to make these remakes of these superhero movies, and most of us are going, ho-hum, give me a break. All right. Well, I've been promoting a lot of people that I've been hearing about that are now independent filmmakers that are doing series on video on different channels. One I found out about is called Vid Angel. And a very good friend of mine said, you've got to talk to Dallas Jenkins. And in fact, she sent me the first couple of episodes of a series that he's done called The Chosen about the life of Christ. And Dallas, I got to tell you, okay, I'm already hooked. I love this series. And my favorite episode, which I shouldn't admit because it's not all out yet, but is number 4. And I loved it. It was about the time when Christ helped Simon to become a fisher of men as opposed to being a fisherman.
Yeah.
And I loved it because it told it in a way that I think was historical, biblical, but yet contemporary in a way that young people could get it and older people would appreciate it. It was respectful. And I love your choice of actors. I was talking to my producer about this. I said, normally, when they finally decided to show Christ's face on the camera, Caviezel is such a handsome man. Jeffrey Hunter was such a handsome man. But this Jesus looks like a real guy. He looks like he is Jewish. He looks Sephardic. He looks like a fisherman. And let's talk about this and how I understand it began from a short film that you made.
Yes. So thank you so much for having me on, and I appreciate it. And I want to clarify one quick thing. This is a bit of good news for you and your listeners. All 4 episodes are available right now. So you got an advanced look. But all 4, thechosen.tv, www.thechosen.tv. Episode 1 is free, but all 4 episodes are accessible. So, a couple things you covered that I really am thrilled that you noticed. Our actor playing Jesus, in fact, the first time you see him, a lot of people have commented on the fact that he seems like he just fits in with everybody else. And that's biblical. I mean, the Bible talks about how there was nothing special about his appearance. He looked like a real guy. And that was important to us. This has been a great ride. I mean, this started, 2 years ago when I made a short film for my church's Christmas Eve service here in Chicago. And it was a short film about the birth of Christ from the perspective of the shepherds. And I shot it on my friend's farm in Marengo, Illinois, a small farm town in this area. And it was just for my church's Christmas Eve service. But while I was doing it, I was thinking, you know, there's never been a multi-season show about the life of Christ. There's been movies, there's been miniseries, but all these shows that I like to binge with my wife, for example, why can't there be something that we could binge and these characters from the Bible that we could follow for multiple seasons? And so I love that idea. But I didn't think, you know, much would come of it, and there weren't any big, you know, TV networks who were lining up to do it. And then, like you mentioned, VidAngel, a streaming service, came along and said, we're interested in it. I got really excited. And then they said, we think we could do this through crowdfunding, and I got really depressed because I thought there's no way this will work. And long story short, we ended up raising over $10 million from over 15,000 people around the world, and now these first four episodes are available. So it's been... it's been quite an incredible ride and quite a humbling journey.
It's a wonderful ride. And, you know, a lot of us are, some of us are Catholic, some of us are Christian, some of us are not, some of us are Jewish. There's a whole gamut there. But I loved the episode also giving an insight into Mary Magdalene. I have a close friend who has spent a couple of years in Magdala, the place where Magdalene was from. And you give a different insight into her, which is a little bit more like what I have heard about, what my friend described of her from the time that she spent in the birthplace of Mary Magdalene. So about the research, tell us about how you obviously you're a very great writer, but how did you get the research completed when you were doing these scripts?
Yeah, that's a great question, because anytime you're doing something biblical based on the Bible, you have to be very careful. And a lot of movies and miniseries just take the safe route, which is they just go verse by verse, word for word, and they just basically put scripture to film. We're not doing that in this case, although we do, of course, believe in the Bible very, very closely, and I'm a lifelong evangelical, and we had biblical experts and consultants to make sure that we were faithful to scripture anytime that we cover anything that's in scripture. But scripture didn't cover most of the lives of these people. They covered very little bits and pieces. And so we can glean a lot of information from those bits and pieces, but we want to expand on it. And you mentioned one of our favorite characters and one of the favorite people in the Gospels, which is Mary Magdalene. And the reason
why
we love her so much is because of her journey. And it's a very dramatic and cinematic journey. I mean, she was possessed by demons. And there's been lots said about her. Some of it's inaccurate. You know, some people have thought she was a prostitute. There's no evidence of that. And so we don't portray it that way. But she was clearly a broken woman before Jesus came across her. And then she ultimately became the woman who got to see him first after his resurrection.
And of course she was strong. I mean, she became fearless when everyone left Mary, you know, she was strong. The other thing is I loved certain actors that you put in there that I have seen in so many movies. The actor who played Nicodemus, wonderful performer.
Oh yeah.
And the quality of the actors that you have, they're rich in their capability. And they don't come across as corny. They come across as very sincere. All right, so you've got The Chosen. I'm wondering, I'm hoping that you're going to get this in the coming up next week. We're going to be talking to someone who is one of the folks at the Museum of the Bible in D.C. This should be sold at the Museum of the Bible in D.C. It should be shown at the Museum of the Bible in D.C.
Well, it actually is, actually. At the end of the month, there's going to be a screening of the first two episodes at the Museum of the Bible. Steve, the Green family who owns the Museum of the Bible, is really excited about this series. So, yeah, I don't know if it'll be sold there, but hopefully eventually, because, yeah, we agree with you. It's very, you know, the thousands of people who've seen it already have talked about how much it enriched their passion for Scripture and their experience reading Scripture.
Dallas, where did you film it? It looks like Israel, but where did you film it? Where was it done?
It does look like Israel, but we filmed it in Texas, actually.
is that
there was a
right?
Small little top. Yeah, out in the middle of nowhere.
You know,
there was this,
I'm a Texan originally.
The topography looked like Israel, and so yeah, we made it work.
Well, I have to tell my friends out in Texas that it was done there because originally, prior to Chicago, I was in Texas and in D.C. So I'm. What part of Texas was it filmed?
Part of it was about an hour outside of Texas in a small town called Weatherford. And
I know Weatherford.
Had been built there. Yeah, so there was a small town just right next to that where this woman had built a first century recreation of Capernaum for people to take tours and whatnot. So we used that for about a week or two, and then we went to some studios in Dallas to shoot some of her interiors. And then combine that with a little bit of magic, a little bit of movie magic, and voila, it looks very much like Israel. I don't think anyone, we've gotten that a lot, it just looks very authentic, and that was very important.
It does, and for those of us that have been to Israel a few times, it looks a lot like Israel. All right, so I want to make sure, because really in a way, it's a gift for our listeners to be able to have the first episode free. It's kind of like an Easter gift that you're giving them, to be able to go and see the first of the series of The Chosen. Tell us how they do that, Dallas, because I want them to make sure once you see the first episode, you're going to want to see everything else that's on there. When are the other ones coming out?
Well, they're out now. So the only difference is they do need to be purchased. And, you know, I wish we could.
No. What I mean is, when do the ones after the? I mean, look, I've already seen the first four. I'm ready for the next four.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, we're writing them right now. So episodes 5 through 8 are being written right now. And
great.
We're going to be shooting them this summer.
And we're running out of time. I need to have the website so they can go real quickly.
Yeah, www.thechosen.tv. Thechosen.tv. You can get all 4 episodes right now.
Dallas Jenkins, we know we're going to get you back on again very soon. Thank you for your beautiful work and such a great, powerful message on video for the whole family. I'm Blanquita Cullum. Have a blessed Easter. God bless you. We'll talk Monday on The Hard Question.